Jimmy, I'm sure glad you enjoy playing, because I enjoy listening. I tell you what, it's sort of one of those things that you can get involved in sometimes when you just enjoy doing it and things. I sometimes think about the things that I enjoy doing and getting involved in them and things. And man, it's not like work. It's just like I'm just having a good time. And yeah, so sometimes you accomplish things and stuff and just sort of enjoy it. It's good to see you this morning. I sort of decided and asked some of our leaders about having this particular service. I know they're having some singing at 11 o'clock service, and so we said, well, we'll have an 8:30 service, so that won't be two Sundays in a row we'll be canceling it. So, you know, I guess I got elected to lead you, so, if you brought your pillow, just don't snore that you wake yourself up or anybody else, but otherwise, you know, just enjoy and have a good time. I've sort of been thinking about, and maybe you have too, am I not getting anything? I don't have a... Where's my... Okay. Isn't it? There we go. Wait just a minute. Nope. Okay. I had one left intentionally blank, so, you know, that's all right. You know, sometimes you read through this stuff and say, this is intentionally left blank. This is the Lent season. This is a time before Easter. And sometimes I want to say to us, you know, we need to have some perception. Do you have good perception? Well, I guess it's all in who you ask, isn't it? You know, somebody say, oh, yeah, you got good, and somebody else said, uh-uh. You're way out yonder, and you need to be way over yonder, you know. And some people, you know, they just look at things sort of totally different. But sometimes I want to talk to us and sort of explore the idea of perception. What kind of perception do you have? Sometimes you might say, well, what's the date? Y'all know what today is? What's the date? Okay. The time? Anybody got time? I know we're all synchronized, I'm sure of that, huh? No, yeah, some kid at school the other day said, well, would you set these clocks, and for who, you know? Sometimes it takes me, you know, 5 minutes to walk down the hall, you know. Not really, it doesn't take me, but by the clock it takes me that length. Sometimes it takes me hours, because some of those clocks have never worked in the 10 years that I've been, almost 10 years I've been working for the school district. But sometimes we say, okay, here's the day, here's the time, where are you at? Y'all know where you are? Okay, Wiffle Bass Church, okay. We agree on that one, huh? Okay. We at least know the place we are, you know. And sometimes you say, what am I doing? What am I doing right now? And I hope one of our answers would be, well, I've come here to worship. I've come here to experience something. I've come here to share with each other. I come here to be a part of something. And so that those questions we might ask and say, well, that's part of our perception. You know, give you an idea about it. I sort of had the old thing about breakfast, you know, and the chicken was saying, let's have bacon and eggs, or, you know, let's have ham and eggs for breakfast. And, you know, the pig says, no, I don't want to. And the chicken said, why not? And said, well, you know, once an everyday experience for you is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. You know, it just depends on how you're looking at things. And sometimes we need to realize for some people it's an everyday experience. Bam, 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 bam. For other people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And we need to put ourselves in or be able to say, okay, I can identify with you. If you want to identify with me and say, okay, this is something I do every day, and it's all right, and I enjoy it and celebrate it, and then I can come with you and be with you and celebrate it. But if it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, you know, we want to know the difference. Like I say, we can all get upset being over certain types of things. Some people, you know, about their hair. I don't know, does my hair look okay from this side this morning? How about from this side? Does it look okay? Okay, thank you. I was worried about that with the wind blowing and stuff. You know, we can get involved in all kinds of things. And sometimes we live by calendars and clocks and rules and regulations and, that don't really do us a whole lot of good and don't really lift us up or make a whole lot for us, but we get involved in them. And sometimes we need to remember this old story about the chicken and the pig talking together. You know, make sure what kind of experience, what kind of day, what kind of thing is going on with you that you might be able to say, okay, is this just an everyday experience? Is this a once-in-a-lifetime experience? Or is this, you know, in between that? We might be able to share. The last week of Jesus' life, this is what we call a holy week. Starting, we thinking, you know, okay, from now, by next Sunday, the resurrection will be, you know. And how much of that is involved in it? Well, I started to do gospel accounts of this and looked at them and said, you know, if you look in Matthew, it includes chapters 21 through 28. And Mark, it's 11 through 16. And John, it's chapters 19 through 24. In Luke and then in John 12 through 21. You know, I started looking at that. I said, man, oh man, look at all that scripture that's involved in the last week of Jesus' life. Well, sort of, I did this in PowerPoint, and it messed it up, but we'll still go with it, huh? If you sort of take this and you take the authentic version of the Bible, which is mine right now, okay? No, I'm just taking, you know, I'm just kidding about that. I just took my Bible. You take your Bible and you can do the same type of thing. What I did is I got to looking at these and from pages 108 to 120 in Matthew and 1035 to 1043, you know, in Mark and Luke and on down I did it. So what I found out is that in Matthew it's 12 pages. In Mark it's 8 pages. In Luke it's 10 pages. And John is 12 pages. This is the last week of Jesus' life. So I tried to add them up, and I don't think I lost it with that one. So let me try to share with you and stuff. That's including 42 pages in the New Testament with the life of Jesus. In the last week, 42 pages. You know, if I go from Matthew chapter 1 to the end of Revelation, that's 288 pages in this authentic version of the Bible, or my particular Bible at that time. And I think if you took yours, you'd find a similar type of amount or something proportionally and stuff. That's if I take from Matthew 1 to the end of John, that's 126 pages. So I tried to sort of come up with it and say, you know, if you look at this, 288 pages, the whole New Testament, 126, the Gospels, and you sort of come up that the Gospels equal to 43.75% of the New Testament. Okay? The last pages of the last week of Jesus' life is 14.58% of the New Testament, or 33% of the Gospels. 33% of the Gospels is dedicated to the last week in Jesus' life. Perception. You think it's important? Wow. One third of the Gospels is dedicated to this event and what's taking place? Well, you know, sometimes I want to put it in real terms. I preached through the Gospel of John. It took me about 2 3/4 years. If I'd take the last week of Jesus' life, it'd probably take me at least 4 years, 52 Sundays, 4 years worth of preaching. Now, I've always been bothered the fact of Palm Sunday, what do you share? Because between now and come next Sunday, 33% of the Gospels is presented. So I decided just to give it to y'all, okay? The whole 4 years. Y'all might be here a while. I hope you brought lunch and stuff. No, there's no way we can do that, can we? There's really no way that we can sort of take the whole week and sort of put it in and say, okay, I'll get my mind ready. I'll get my perception ready. I'll get everything ready so I can celebrate that morning when Jesus was out of the grave. He said, boy, this is sort of a difficult task, isn't it? Because here's our Lord. He gave his life. I might have life, you might have life. He gave it all. He poured it out for us. You know, over the years, I've read medical descriptions of the crucifixion. You know, don't do that right after breakfast or lunch or any other meal. Sort of sometime when you calm down, sort of read what crucifixion did to the human body. You know, you can do all kinds of things and stuff. Back when I was in college, as my son says, in the late 1800s, back when I was in college, they gave us a little book called Harmony of the Gospels. And this book sort of takes and tries to do a parallel of where all the Gospels and how they are relate, you know. And when a story is in one Gospel and in another Gospel, then it sort of lines them up. And I don't know, maybe in your library or things that you have, you know, books that you have one of those types of books. They're awful helpful. And I see in bookstores still some, and you know, and things, and so that sort of helped me to sort of perceive, okay, these things are all going on, these things are part of the events of Jesus' life. There's a fellow named Foster that has on the web a particular thing about the last week of Jesus' life and such things. And in that, he has some charts. And I know you might not be able to read them very, very carefully. And so I'll just, did you get them all? Okay. There'll be a test on that now. No, let me go back and say with you. If you sort of try to look at the events, and here 6 days before, you know, Passover, he's saying, well, here Jesus arrives in Bethany. And then, you know, of course, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, 5 days before the Passover. It's a morning in Jerusalem, you know, word is he tries to share that, and sometimes the town, the temple, you know, different things he tries to be able to share with you and give you these events of Jesus, you know, that after this triumphant entry, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus looks around, you know, and he returns to Bethany with disciples. And so this particular Sunday, like I said, we celebrate this triumphant entry, this celebration, this thing of saying, you know, Jesus, here he comes. Oh, man, Hosanna, he's the king. And people are shouting. And somebody said one time, do you think maybe that some of the people were shouting, you know, on that particular day when Jesus comes in triumph, were shouting Hosanna? Might be some of the same crowd that on Friday is shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Group dynamics, the way they are, it's a great possibility that we can switch that quickly as human beings from a celebration to deep despair or agony one time. So as you go through these events, you know, you sort of, you know, the barren fig trees, cleansing the temple, some of these things, you know, leave us sort of, what's going on there? We have a lot of questions about them. Unbelief in the crowd. They returned to Beth in 4 days. And it goes to 3 days. And see, that was quite a full day. I think, man, oh man, sometimes my day gets sort of full, and I go home, I sit down and go, ugh, you know, and then I get to looking at some of Jesus' days and what's going on and things, and, you know, all these things that take place and stuff, and the scripture that goes along with it, and the place it is. It sort of gives us an idea of things to prepare ourselves and say, okay, this Holy Week, this is what's crammed into it. This is what is in the life of Jesus, and this is what we have recorded that he did. And then, well, let me go the 2 days, the day, you know, the last. Sort of overwhelming. But I still need to have perception. How will I prepare myself to celebrate this? You know, we'll do some things differently. Like I say, we have soup in the Word this week and sort of a Lent celebration to remind ourselves and how people have used Lent. Of course, I've seen some people use it very, very well. I've known other people that used it terribly. I asked one person, they were a friend of mine, and they said, yeah, starting the Lent season. They said, what you giving up? They said, well, I'm giving up smoking for Lent. I said, oh, you smoke? They said, no. Never have. But I've given it up for Lent. I've known people that gave up something that they didn't do for Lent, you know. I thought, well, that's not much sacrifice. I've known others that have used it, you know, and they've used it, and they've used fasting and prayer. And they do extra projects or things and giving to accent and say, you know, God's been so gracious to me and so loving to me that I want to give to somebody else. I've known some that, you know, they picked certain events that they just said, okay, I'll do this for this person, this and this and this, you know. To get their minds ready to say, you know, I want to be so I know what it's like to be a giver and a receiver also. So as we prepare yourself, I thought in Philippians, the second chapter, these verses 6 to 11 sort of accent to us about Jesus Christ. You know, and saying who he was and what he was about, and sort of sums up his whole life. And that's what we sort of need to be able to go and celebrate and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to acknowledge that you died for me. I want to acknowledge that you laid in a grave for me. I want to acknowledge that you rose from the dead for me. I want to acknowledge it all. On a cross that you bled, that you didn't have to do it, but you loved me and you did it. You know, when in Philippians says, who being in a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. How sometimes people want to use stuff, you know? How we as human beings, you know, sometimes we'll manipulate stuff, you know. We try to manipulate all kinds of things, you know. All kinds of things to in life. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't manipulating anything. Rather, he made himself nothing but taking the very nature of a servant. The New Testament talks about servant and us being servants. And made in human likeness. Now, you know, when you think about your God and you put yourself in a human form, whoa. That's called downgrading. If you don't get it, yeah. That when he's who he is and then he puts himself in human form, that's really downgrading. But he's willing to do this. Been found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, came obedient to death. Not only obedient to death, but even the death of a cross. Wow. What a terrible death it is. But he did it for us. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Now, Jesus. You know, have you ever thought about the power of the name of Jesus? You ever thought about why they use it as cuss words? Because it has power. It has power. I mean, you don't hear anybody say, oh, George Washington. You know? So what? You know? Oh, Abraham Lincoln. Oh, Roosevelt. You know? Oh, John Smith. You know? Oh, Joe Jones. You know? No. But even in negative form, Jesus Christ has some power, doesn't he? And that's why they use it. His name has been exalted. It's above all others. Name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I always remind myself, you know, you got a choice. I can either bow down to him now or do it later. Now I can do it by choice. Later on, won't have any choice. You know? That's so like when they come and carry you away. You don't have a choice, even if they're taking you just to the funny house, you know. And you don't have a choice. They strap you up, they grab a hold of you, enough of them get you, they cart you off. In the same way, we'll have to confess Jesus Christ. So isn't it a whole lot better now to say, okay, out of love, Lord, I'll say, I love you, thank you. I love you. I want to follow after you. I want to serve you. Everybody, every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Perception. Perception. How is your mind? How is your life? How is the celebration that you're doing going? Because if we prepare ourselves, a lot of other things can crowd in and get a hold and demand our time or effort. You know, sometimes just the silliest thing can grab up our time. The other day I got a call and man, they needed help. Oh boy, they needed help. Things just were not going right. They were having a class and computers wouldn't act right, and I'm sure it was all my fault, you know, because I'd set them up and things. And oh man, could you come over here right this very minute, you know? And so, yeah, I dropped what I did. Walked over. Walked in and said, what's wrong? Oh, they're just not working at all. I just don't know what's wrong. I said, well, let's see. Do you have this plugged in? Yeah, we got both of them plugged in. I got two blue wires, and I got them both plugged in. Well, you only need one because they both go to the same place, you know. But I've never been able to convince these people of that. They think I got to plug them in both. Okay, plug them in both. If I put four or five more in there if you want me to. So you can plug all those in too. Not going to do you any good. Oh, yeah, we've done all that. We've done all that and stuff. I said, well, let me look around. Do you have the Wi-Fi cut on? Yeah. Yeah, we got them cut on the computers and computers on, but nothing. I said, oh, okay. And I looked up on top of the what we call the cowl. it's computer on wheels, okay? And it's a bunch of laptops in a case, and the kids call them the cow, and so we started calling them the cow. And I looked up on top of the cow, and here's an electrical plug laying up there. Well, this particular cow has two electrical plugs, and they had one of them plugged in. Those two plugs don't go the same place. And so I said, let's take this electrical plug and plug it in. Well, what difference does that make? Well, that electrical plug is the one that powers the wireless point so that you can connect to the internet. And so we plug it in, and just as soon as I got it in the wall, they said, oh, it still doesn't work. Whoa. It takes a few seconds or minutes for the wireless to come up and figure out who and what it is, and then your computer to do it. Perception. They thought they had the biggest problem in the world, and really they didn't have a whole lot of problem. All they need to do is plug it in the wall. Thank you. Crises that we can have, perception that we need. Sometimes we can involve ourselves and pull ourselves in and think, oh man, this is the end. This is the end. But it's really not. Maybe this morning, you take a moment and examine your life with Jesus Christ. Maybe as you take this palm branch and you think about it, Hosanna, are you my King? Come. Come. Like you did in triumphant entry. Come into my life and be that triumphant one. Maybe it's a first time experience that you need. Or maybe it's an experience you want to say, well, I've done that before, but I just want to share it again, you know, and say, okay, Lord, just like you do every day, be in my life and be involved. Or maybe your celebration is, I need to just spend some prayer time down here. I need to rededicate my life. I need to pray with somebody. As we share in our invitation hymn, might you come, we stand and sing together.
Oh, Amen.